Welcome to the second hour's reading of the Midland Reporter-Telegram and the Odessa American. You can hear this program on Recording Library of West Texas Radio and on demand at recordinglibrary.org.
Hello, friends. This is Julie, reading from the Odessa American on Sunday, March 5th. Trustees, Bond Should Go Forward by Ruth Campbell. A majority of Ector County ISD board trustees agree that a bond needs to move forward. Some are questioning a demographic study that showed growth flattening and declining. During a February 14th board workshop, trustees heard a report from Davis Demographics on a recently completed study of Odessa and Ector County. The study provided a 10-year enrollment forecast for the school year 2023 through the school year 2033. The firm researches current school enrollment, residential development projects, birth rates, and mobility factors to analyze and then create a forecast. The board recap said forecasts are most accurate for the first 5 years in the analysis, and after that, circumstances conditions become more difficult to predict. The firm's evaluation, due to loss of students during COVID and the area's loss of population over the past few years, shows school enrollment has slowed and is expected to remain relatively steady through the next few years, the recap said. Beyond that, enrollment could begin to slowly decline without an economic pickup. Running an updated study in 1 to 2 years would provide a better indication of those economic factors going forward. Trustee Denise Jones said Midland recently completed a demographic study that showed the complete opposite of the one done for ECISD. I've asked the superintendent to have our demographer double-check our results because the Midland and Odessa economies are so closely tied together, Jones said. The bond committee will make its recommendation to the board June 20th, and trustees would call for an election August 15th for the November election. There's no doubt that the current high schools are overcrowded, and it's certainly something to take into consideration, even if the population projected to stay flat. But I don't have an opinion on which way I'll vote on that until I hear the recommendations of the committee, Jones said. He added that he did have questions about the demographic study. Jones was ill the night it was presented to the board and was unable to attend the meeting, but he studied it very extensively. I had some questions, especially after reading that one from Midland had performed and came up with different results. So right now it remains to be seen if theirs was wrong or ours was incorrect, Jones said. Board member Delma Abalos, she thinks the district should go forward with a bond and said a lot of questions were raised about the demographic study. Abalos' concern with the report is flawed. She added that people on the bond committee had questions about the report as well. I don't agree with it, and it's not that I'm an expert, it's that I've lived here all my life, so I do have questions and concerns about the study itself. So I don't want to not go forward with the lease committee and the study as a bond until we get to the bottom of this, Abalos said. She added, if they don't build new schools, they need to fix items like the plumbing and electrical work in many of them. I think we do need some new schools, but if nothing else, we need to at least fix the schools that need it. The really older schools like Ector, Nimitz, and Bonham, and some of the elementaries where the plumbing is so old, Abalos said. Technology upgrades are also part of what the district should be doing. Abalos, the superintendent Scott Murray, said it doesn't seem to them that the economy has slowed down any. She'd like a more thorough explanation of the study. I think we should go ahead with the bond because there's things the district can afford to do because it's way too many schools and it'll take forever if we do one at a time, but I'm not convinced also that we don't need more schools. In the end, I really would like some clarification on the study, Abalos said. She added in a text message that the district needs a career in technology building regardless of the study. Abalos said Odessa and Permian high schools are also busting at the seams. President Steve Brown said the needs are still there and they're not going away. Brown added that the bond committee has the information. Let them digest it and see what the recommendation is. From where I sit, we probably need to go forward, Brown said. With the school's aging school building and the need to lower the population, particularly at the high schools, even with the projected population, they still need another high school. But that will be something for the bond committee to study and decide on. I look forward to their recommendations, whatever that might be, Brown said. Board member Donna Smith said also they need to go forward with the bond. Our schools aren't where the kids live, which means that the schools near where children actually live are painfully overcrowded. On the west side, Downing is at 112% of its capacity, while Fly is at 119%. But if all the children who live in those two attendance zones actually go to the school closest to them, both schools will be 140% above their physical capacity, Smith said in an email. Jordan and Buse have similar overcrowding. If all the citizens who live at Buse's attendance zone went to school, it would be 156% capacity. To give you an idea of how far the county has grown past where the schools are actually located, a middle school child living on the western edge of the county has to travel almost 11 miles to get to Crockett and 18 miles to get to Ector. Even if it's not predicted to grow in the future, we could do a lot of building and still not accommodate the growth that's already occurred, Smith wrote. Trustee Tammy Hawkins said as taxpayers she thinks they should continue towards a bond, but more explanation of the demographic study is needed. She added that people needed to walk through the schools and see what conditions are like. Hawkins said she's pleased with the attendance at the bond committee meetings. It's just so nice to see the support of the community. I think it's a really good thing, too, she said. Murray said schools are overcrowded today, and the demographic study doesn't affect that. We have multiple schools that need more elbow room. Our middle schools are at capacity, and so that's today's numbers. The demographic study doesn't affect what's happening today. In addition, half our schools are 61 years of age and older. Those schools need significant renovations. They need repairs, electrical work, plumbing work. The infrastructure work is important for an aging facility. Again, the demographic study has no effect upon that. There are needs that we have today, Murray said in the media call February 22nd. Councilman still has questions about T2. Council meets Tuesday to discuss next steps, by Kim Smith. The Odessa City Council will hold a special meeting Tuesday evening to discuss the formation of a committee that will help identify the city's next city manager and to discuss strengths, weaknesses, opportunities, and threats, our SWOT analysis performed by T2 Professional Consulting. However, at least one Odessa City Council member has serious concerns about the qualifications of the group, especially one member of the group who calls himself a mental scientist. Council member Steve Thomas said he has been asking for the resumes, degrees, and licenses of the members of the T2 since Mayor Javier Hoven hired them for $338,000 December 14th. The day after the council voted 5-2 to fire city manager Michael Moreno and city attorney Natasha Brooks without explanation. After hearing T2's Hank Sitz presentation on the city council meeting last week, Thompson said he has doubled his efforts. I think they're frauds. I don't think they're frauds from the beginning. I don't trust them. They're not forthright, Thomas said. If someone tells you they're a neurosurgeon, you won't let them perform brain surgery until you check them out, Thomas said. I've been skeptical of these guys all along. It's been cloak and dagger. They say they can't give me resumes. I can't vet them. Never got a chance to. The mayor signed a contract and paid them, and I don't know who they are. My job as a council member is to vet that stuff to make sure we get what we pay for, Thomason said. Hoven has said T2 will help the city find Moreno's replacement, but will also analyze all city positions to ensure they are needed and or filled by the most qualified personnel. The contract itself states T2 will provide professional services for the benefit of the interim city manager, including advising and consulting, organizational analysis, and training on leadership transition management. Thompson voted against hiring T2, noting the group was not vetted by all the city council members. He said Hoven's signing of the contract was a clear violation of the city charter. Under Article 1-4 of the city charter, all ordinances, solutions, and contract documents shall, before presentation to the council, have been viewed to form and legitimacy by the city attorney or the city attorney's authorized representative, and shall have been examined and reviewed for administration by the city manager or the city manager's authorized representative. In addition, under the city charter, Section 30, city council approval of contracts must occur under certain circumstances, one being contracts requiring the approval of funds. Hovind signed the contract just hours after Marino and Brooks were terminated, and interim city manager Espaco Bernal and interim city attorney Dan Jones were appointed. Bernal did not sign it, and Jones initialed it on December 16th, 2 days after T2 received a $50,000 initial payment. Dr. Hank. During last week's city council meeting, T2 Hank Sees said that instead of relying entirely upon resumes and interviews, which are unreliable, he helps organizations spot people who have necessary talents to perform the job and are motivated to do so. By doing so, employees can expect to see a 30% increase in productivity and a 50% increase in job retention, he said. Sitz, who said he goes by Dr. Hanks, said the council to put together a panel of subject matter experts. He'll work via Zoom for 60 to 90 minutes to help them determine the key talents, motivators, and behavior for the city manager position. They'll go through an assessment process, and those assessments will be electronically averaged to come up with a job match. Sitz said, then before the meeting, any candidates, they'll run a trimetrics on the candidates that qualify best based on their resumes. I can take a look at that 25-page report, and on the first page, I can tell you who's the most qualified candidate for that position without ever meeting them, interviewing them. I don't even see their resume, Sitz said. The panel should be comprised of two city council members, two department heads, and two citizens, Sitz said. Sitz described himself to the council as a mental scientist, behavioral psychologist, and a certified analyst in a lot of different areas of the human being. He described queries from LinkedIn, Amazon, and other websites, however. John Lucas, Assistant Vice Chancellor of Communications at the University of Wisconsin-Madison, was unable to determine if Sitz is a UW-Madison graduate, as he contends. However, Lucas did say UW-Madison does not offer a degree in mental science. The Texas Behavioral Health Executive Council has no record of a license being issued to a Hank or Henry Size. The council provides licenses to psychologists, marriage and family therapists, professional counselors, and social workers. The Texas Department of Licensing and Regulation will provide licenses to behavior analysis, also does not show a license for Hank or Henry Sitz. Sitz has written at least 14 books with titles such as Your Royal Path to Riches, Think, Feel, and Grow Rich, The Happiest Man in the World, Easy Money, Easy Life, Health, Wealth, and Success, Walk with God, Conscious Mind Treatments, 13 Easy Steps to More Money, and Your GPS to Success. Public records request. The Odessa American has twice filed a Texas Public Information Act request seeking copies of emails, texts, and instant messages exchanged between T2, Hovind, city council members, and city staff since November 1, 2022. The information was requested to ascertain, at least in part, when negotiations began between T2 and the city. Hovind has repeatedly said T2 has more than 125 years of combined experience, but the OAA has been unable to find a single news story wherein about T2. Michael Wilson, the owner of T2, claims in an email to the OA that 100% private and public organizations have used the company's services, including some Tier 1 cities. The less than two-year-old company is run out of a residence in Fort Worth. Obituaries. Dallas. Dorothy Lee Lewis Ivey, whose work as a teacher inspired thousands of students to love literature, language, and writing, died of aortic valve failure in the early morning hours Saturday, February 25th, after 5 weeks in home hospice care in Dallas, Texas. She was 101. Her husband of 73 years, Dr. Nathan Ivey, was at her bedside the night before, surrounded by their children, grandchildren, and great-grandchildren. A memorial service and interment of ashes will be held on May 20th at 3 p.m. Christ United Methodist Church in Plano, Texas.
Hello, I'm Jesse. I'm reading from the Odessa American for Monday, March 6th. Hector County Sheriff's Office investigating triple shooting. The Hector County Sheriff's Office is investigating the shooting of three individuals early Sunday morning at an underage drinking party in West Odessa. One of the victims is in critical condition. Sheriff Mike Griffiths said deputies learned of an ambulance being summoned for a shooting victim shortly after midnight in the 12,000 block of Middle Ground Drive. When deputies arrived, they found a 16-year-old boy with a gunshot wound, and he was taken to Medical Center Hospital, where an 18-year-old boy and a girl had already been taken by someone in a privately owned vehicle, Griffiths said. Two of those shots are in stable condition, and the third is in critical condition, Griffiths said. Griffiths said it appears as though all three will survive their wounds. He did not know the age of the girl or which boy was in critical condition. No arrests have been made yet, but two adults could face charges because it was a party where alcohol had been served, Griffiths said. The Hector County Sheriff's Office has investigated a handful of shootings since December, and nearly all have involved juvenile victims. On December 19th, Jeremiah Nathaniel Padilla, age 19, and a 16-year-old boy were shot. Padilla did not survive, and the Hector County Sheriff's Office has not yet been able to identify a motive or make any arrests. On January 6th, Brian Sanchez, age 17, was shot and killed during an attempted robbery. Omar Matthew Gutierrez and Thomas Terrazas, both age 17, have both been arrested on suspicion of capital murder, and Sanchez is also facing an aggravated assault with a deadly weapons charge. Gutierrez remains in custody on surety bonds totaling $600,000. Terrazas also remains in the Hector County Jail. His bond is $500,000.
Business attempts to control conservatives. Mayor responds to coverage of Odessa's city government by Javier Hoven, Odessa mayor. For years, liberals have developed a playbook used to undermine and take down conservatives. We see this used on the national scene, and their formula is increasingly deployed at the state and local levels. Fortunately, voters can now identify the steps in their plan to promote liberal ideologies while undermining the efforts of those elected to serve. Here is how it works. Find someone willing to lie, often in exchange for either money or attention or both, to create a false narrative. Think of the Russian collusion hoax perpetrated by the Steele Dozier. Have the false narrative spun and grown by allied left-wing media operatives while also discounting and undermining any other news or scandals that might disprove the false narrative. Think of CNN or MSNBC and the Hunter Biden laptop story. Dispatch social media trolls to chum the online waters and attempt to further spread the fabricated story while simultaneously embellishing the narrative to sometimes ridiculous heights. Recently, this playbook was launched against the Odessa City Council. Ironically, our conservative community has been governed by a small coalition of moderate progressives and Democrats for many years, but with the November 2022 city elections, voters delivered a new and conservative government to Odessa. As mayor, I was elected in 2020, along with two other staunch conservatives, in elections that provided solid victories over three incumbent candidates. We were elected on a platform of getting Odessa city government back to the basics of providing great police and fire services, safe roads, clean water, and efficient waste services. During our campaigns, each candidate promised to work hard to cut the waste, streamline city operations, and listen to the needs of the entire electorate and not just the small group of power brokers who had controlled Odessa for years. The first 2 years of our term's efforts to right Odessa's ship were largely stopped by a block of four who actively worked to maintain the status quo of pumping over $50 million into a convention center and theater for which taxpayers get $1 per year leases, and redirecting economic development funds to support pet projects. This block was more than willing to waste $80,000 on ugly metal Christmas trees, but refused time and again to pay our firefighters a competitive wage. With the addition of two more conservative fighters in 2022, the Odessa City Council now had the voters needed to make the necessary changes, and that's when the playbook was pulled out and deployed. In Odessa's case, the lie began during the City Council meeting, where the Odessa City Council voted to terminate the appointments of Odessa City Manager Michael Marrero and City Attorney Natasha Brooks. During this meeting, a current city employee, Casey Hallmark Williams, strode to the microphone and began to make a series of unfounded and slanderous accusations against conservative city council members. In a nutshell, Hallmark accused council members of openly attacking her, cursing her, and attempting to force her out of her job. Like any good Texas tall tale, Hallmark has continued to grow and embellish her lie with each retelling, with her latest account to Texas Monthly reporter Michael Hardy rising to incredible new heights of fabrication. Along with this lie, others have spun up their own false narratives, such as calling the loss of 18 of more than 800 city employees a mass exodus and questioning the validity of a professional services contract that council approved to begin the search for a new city manager. Media operatives began to disseminate the lie. First, the failing Odessa newspaper began to actively promote and expand on Hallmark's story. In front page stories, they talked about how successful Hallmark had been and described how she had achieved the first ever profit of $50,000 for Downtown Odessa, Inc., which she directed. This small profit was after city taxpayers had pumped around $450,000 into her department to cover expenses, thus netting taxpayers a $400,000 loss on operations. The leadership of Odessa American continues to be angry at the council because for over 3 years they have falsely claimed the city was withholding public records from them in a lawsuit against the city. The paper tried everything they could to bludgeon council members into settling and avoid the truth about their false flag campaign being exposed in a court of law. Instead, Odessa took the case before a state district judge who properly dismissed it. They are still angry they were unable to try their case in the court of public opinion and instead have been forced to support their case in court. Then along comes left-wing Texas Monthly reporter Michael Hardy, who leads his story. A right-wing cabal took over Odessa's municipal government. City employees are heading for the exits with the sad tale of Casey Hallmark. Hardy is known for such great exposés as A Journey to Hell, My Visit to the Houston Satanic Temple's Art Show, and In Dallas, Donald Trump Provided a Violent Blueprint for Seizing Power. Hardy then gets right to business with the narrative that city employees are leaving in droves, and then gets some juicy quotes from known local liberal agitators such as family law attorney Gavin Norris and former local NAACP president Gene Collins, who further describe the chaos that has descended on the city of Odessa despite the fact that everything in the city is working just fine and all city services are being delivered. Hardy also fails to mention the new spirit of cooperation that has recently broken out between the city and other local governmental bodies, as was witnessed by our first ever joint Ector County Commissioner, Odessa Development Corporation, and Odessa City Council workshop. The troll team for the local establishment has been spearheaded by a comical brother-sister duo who often take to social media and chat back and forth with only each other in attempt to build and expand on various anti-city council themes. The brother is angry over the council's passage of the pro-life sanctuary city ordinance and tried to get local Democrats to vote in the GOP primary to influence the local Republican leadership, and the sister isn't even a local resident. Regardless of the topic posted, this duo will begin pumping in comments promoting their latest city conspiracy theory and trying to undercut the work being done in the city. Their wackiness, which has included a promise by the brother to campaign in his underwear, has been fueled by active promotion by the Odessa newspaper, which has turned their front page headlines into a type of social gossip rag where they are willing to print almost anything that supports their anti-city council narratives. The good news is that Odessa voters and taxpayers understand the playbook and know exactly what is happening. It's been interesting to read the many comments made in social media about the work being done in Odessa and many comments I've received from both locals and those living in other communities to keep up the good work, prioritizing quality city services while being good stewards of public resources should be celebrated by everyone in a bipartisan sense. But that doesn't mean a conservative community should be denied conservative representation under a misrepresentation of nonpartisanship. You certainly never hear a complaint from the media when Democrats win control of local nonpartisan offices, only when Republicans do. As the work continues and corruption, graft, and inefficiencies are rooted out, we can be sure that the attacks will keep coming, and that's okay, because Odessans understand what's at stake, and I am confident that they are going to appreciate the changes coming as we strive to make Odessa the best place to live, work, and raise a family.
Risk of metformin for prediabetes. To Your Good Health by Dr. Keith Roach. Dear Dr. Roach, what are the risks for long-term usage of metformin for pre-diabetics? Answer. Metformin is a commonly used treatment for type 2 diabetes, but has also been proven to prevent, or at least delay, the onset of diabetes in people who are at risk. This includes those who already have abnormal blood sugar, but don't yet meet the diagnostic criteria for diabetes, called prediabetes or impaired glucose tolerance. Metformin works mostly by preventing the liver from making sugar. This allows the insulin a person makes to work on dietary sugar instead, which in turn lowers insulin levels, thus promoting weight loss. Metformin is a very safe drug, with few long-term side effects. The most common side effects are gastrointestinal. Nausea and diarrhea are the most common. These usually go away after time and can be minimized by using the long-acting form of the drug. Vitamin B12 deficiency happens in about 20% of people over a span of 5 years. The most severe side effect is called lactic acidosis. This is extremely rare and happens when metformin is only given to people with normal kidney function. Kidney function and blood sugar levels should be periodically checked when on metformin, whether for diabetes or prevention. Struggles to connect with late brother's widow. Dear Abby, I am a 61-year-old, never-married woman with no kids. Most of my life was spent caring for my aging parents, working on my education. I have a master's degree. and saving for my future. I am financially stable. I own my house free and clear, own my car, and have very little credit card debt. I have a good job I enjoy, a circle of friends, and many activities. I took care of my parents because it was the right thing to do, and I was prepared for their deaths when their time came. My brother, my only sibling, died unexpectedly 1 year to the day after my mother's passing. It was a terrible shock, and it has taken me the last 2 years to come to terms with his loss. My issue is with my brother's widow. We have never been close. There's no animosity, nor have there ever been any harsh words, but we never bonded. My niece and I get along beautifully, but no matter how much I try, I can't seem to break through to my sister-in-law. She is very dismissive of my grief. She never calls and never asks about my life. She never visits or reaches out in any way. She's responsive and kind when I do, but the communications are one-sided. I honestly wouldn't miss her if I didn't see her, but my loyalty to my brother and my desire to keep my niece out of the middle has kept me from distancing too much. Now that my parents and brother are gone, there are things I would like to pursue on my own. How much do I owe to her? Future Thinking in Tennessee. Dear Future Thinking, your brother's widow may have been dealing with her own grief over the loss of her spouse and unable to handle yours. Be cordial to her, as she is to you, but go on with your life and relationships. Remember her on special occasions with a call, a card, or an invitation. If you and your niece have a closer bond, those things should come naturally. You have handled the responsibilities life handed you with grace and generosity. It is now time for you to enjoy your own life and worry less about the lives of others. Dear Abby, I recently left my boyfriend. He said he loved me, but I felt like a third wheel in our relationship. He had a female friend he was constantly borrowing money from, even though we both work. He also gave her relationship advice. They would bicker back and forth like two-year-olds, and when we went places, they made me ride in the back while they were having a conversation I was never part of. He also cut me off every time I talked. When I asked him why, he said I talked about dumb things. Was I wrong for walking away? Bailing in Pennsylvania. Dear Bailing, wrong? No. The man had no respect for your feelings or for you. For all of the reasons you mentioned, you are much better off without him. I'm glad you finally summoned up enough self-esteem to end things with the two of them. To paraphrase the late Princess Diana, there were three people in your relationship.
Thank you for joining us for the readings of the Midland Reporter-Telegram and the Odessa American. This is the Recording Library of West Texas, enriching the lives of individuals with physical, visual, and learning disabilities since 1963. You can hear this program on Recording Library of West Texas Radio and on demand with your computer or favorite mobile device at recordinglibrary.org.